Mark chapter 5 is, I'm sure it's familiar to everybody that's here. We studied it recently on our Thursday night men's class with Carl about 2 months ago. And in studying Mark chapter 5, it's one of those things that you read it and it's pretty self-explanatory. But I'll tell you, when reading it and studying it by verse, when we studied it that night, just many things popped out. And I thought, you know, there's just sermon material after sermon material in this one chapter here. And it's actually not the whole chapter. And it has to do with Jesus casting out the demons. And there's just, as we look at it tonight, we'll see that there's just so many things that are there that I admit, reading it over and over many times, that I never considered. And I just want to share those for a few minutes tonight, and I hope to be very brief, as it's passages that's familiar to us. If you would turn your attentions to chapter 5, let's begin by looking at verse 1 through 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, this is Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. Now I'll tell you, this is a man that I hope I never run into. He was bound with chains and shackles. And I think we all can understand what chains and shackles are. Chains around your hands, shackles around your feet. And this man broke these things. He had the power to break these things because he was possessed with an unclean spirit. Now, just the other day, I've been thinking about this chapter for a couple of months, but Friday being Halloween, there were some things on the History Channel talking about Halloween. And it was so interesting that I happened to turn it, and there was a couple of, I guess they were professors, and they were talking about Mark chapter 5. And they said, well, we think when you look at demons in the Bible, we've come to reason that these are just people with epilepsy. And it makes sense their argument is, well, it makes sense if you stand to reason, if you look what it has to say, because a person with epilepsy, they're frailing around on the floor and they're going crazy one minute, the next minute they're sitting in their right mind and talking and normal. But if you look at the text, that is so ridiculous because, number one, I've never heard of someone that has epilepsy that was able to break chains and to break the bindings on their ankles. Just impossible. And then the thing that they forget in the whole text is, as we'll see in just a moment, Jesus says they had a demon, and Jesus cast out that demon. So that would throw out the whole idea of epilepsy or seizure or whatever they want to come up with. Again, it's an attempt for man to just come up with something in their own mind and try to explain the Bible when they don't really look at what it's having to say. It's just totally ridiculous. The Bible, when you read it, if you don't remember anything that I have to say tonight, just remember when you open the Word of God and you study it, whether it's verses or a chapter, remember to keep everything in context. That's one thing that I've learned in our classes. Read it. If you have a question, maybe you can't answer it. Read it again. Read it again. And if you read it and you put it all together, these questions that you have, instead of trying to reason in your own mind or asking somebody, a lot of times when you read the text again and you keep it in context, your questions will be answered in those cases. And as it moves on, this demon-possessed man in verse 6 and 7, it says, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him and cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you? Or what are you going to do to me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Here this demon recognized God. He come running to him and says, what have I to do with you? Or as I said, in our language would mean, you know, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do? And he implores him. He calls him Jesus, Son of God Most High. He knew who he was. So if there's anyone in the world that says, well, I want to worship Satan, just remember that Satan answers to God. And we will all answer to God. So if someone says, well, I just don't believe in God, I'm going to worship the devil, well, the Bible tells us that God is the creator of all and that evil and sin will answer to God. And here they recognize Jesus. It doesn't say how or why, but he recognized Jesus. And that should tell us that evil one day, as we know in the whole book of Revelation, is good and evil. And we know that in the end that evil will prevail, and we should never forget that. And then it moves on in verse 8 through 10. It says, "For he said to him," Jesus said, "come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, in the Roman army, a legion of men is about 6,000 strong men. Now, I'm not saying that there were 6,000 demons in this man, but in just a moment we'll see that there's at least 2,000. Because there was 2,000 swine that he cast them into. It could have been 3 demons per swine, which adds 6,000. That's not the point. His name was Legion, and it was many. There were many of them. It wasn't just this one demon, but it was many. And as we see in the text, as we'll go on, these demons had to have an entity, had to have a body with which to be in for them to have to function. If they were not there, then they were going to be in their rightful place, which the Bible tells us that the demon's place is in the abyss, the black, dark pit, where sin and Satan and all of his demons will be on the day of judgment. They'll be cast into this lake of fire, in this abyss, this dark pit. That's where their normal dwelling would be. But in the case here and throughout the Bible, we have the examples. These many demons happen to be in this one man, to the extent, as we've just talked about, that he was able to break these fetters and chains with this man, that it just drove this man insane, and he dwelled in the tombs and in the mountains, cutting himself. It was a horrible thing to imagine. But it was many demons, as we see. And as we move on, look in verse 11 as we move on. "Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea." Now, this is just a speculation on my part, I admit. But the scripture says that there was this large herd of swine that were feeding. And the demons begged him. They had already said, "You know, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And here we see that they begged Jesus, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." From what I can understand from the commentaries and so forth, if Jesus had to cast them out of this man, they would have been cast back to the darkness, to the pit, to the black abyss, where there's complete torment. They would have no reign over this man's body, no control whatsoever. So possibly by them begging to go into the swine, they could at least maybe control the swine and have the swine or the pig, if you will, to do flips and run into the wall or whatever. They would have a dwelling in this swine. So that's just the thought, that possibly that's why they were begging to be put into that swine. We don't know exactly. But Jesus knew their thoughts, because it says that what did he do? He cast them into the swine, and immediately 2,000 swine, they ran down the steep place into the sea, and they were drowned. So that tells me that the entity, which is the swine or the pig, is now drowned, so now they have no dwelling, no body to dwell in, so they ended up in the abyss anyway. Or they're certainly not in the swine, because the swine's life was given up when they ran down into the sea. Let's move on to verse 14. "So those who fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed about the swine, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him." And that's understandable. The one that had the demons taken out, he wanted to be with Jesus. And in a moment, we'll see what Jesus had to tell him. But we see that those demons had been cast into the swine. They ran down the steep of the hill, and they ran into the sea, and they were drowned. At this juncture, there's a couple of questions that we want to ask, or some points that we want to make. We see in the text that in verse 15 that they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion, they understand it was many demons, sitting and clothed in his right mind. And what does it say? And they were afraid. Because some of them probably had witnessed possibly the 2,000 swine running down into the water. Others had merely heard about it. At any rate, they understood or had known this fellow perhaps that had these demons in him, and now here he is sitting in his right mind. And they were afraid. Could have been many reasons they were afraid. But if you remember back in Matthew when Jesus cast out the demons, what did they say about Jesus? They said, well, you must be the devil. You must be Beelzebub because the demons listen to you when you cast them out. And Jesus knew their hearts and their thoughts. He was so smart at what he told them. He said that a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. In other words, what he was saying, he said, if I was the devil, why would I cast them out of the people? Wouldn't I be casting them into the people so that they could torment them? And as if to say, you people don't make any sense. Think about what you're saying. But Jesus used a very logical explanation of saying a house divided cannot stand. If he was truly the devil Beelzebub, he surely wouldn't be casting the demons out of the people. He'd be going around and trying to put them in the people. So the people that accused him of that just weren't thinking. They weren't using their noggin and thinking and seeing what was going on.